The answer to that question is no place. Where else can we go? When I was a small child, my mom took me to the local public pool for swim lesson. As I recall, they were really early in the morning, and it was cold. The water was cold. But I did pretty well. I learned to float front and back. I learned to kick, and I always won the hold your breath contest. I was pretty proud of that. And it went so well that my mom signed me up the next year also. So flash forward a year. I arrived the second year. First thing I noticed, I'm getting ready for class. The kids were bigger than I was. They seemed older. But I compliantly followed my teacher as we walked past the shallow end of the pool over to the deep end of the pool. And I was like getting a little bit scared, but I said nothing. The teacher, first thing he did is lined us up on the side, told us to jump in, swim across the pool and back to get warmed up. Well, I'd never been in the deep end of the pool before. I couldn't swim. So now I was really scared, terrified actually. But I still said nothing. I figured the guy knew. He's my teacher. He knew what was best, you know. So, I jump in, right? Jump in there, and I start to flail my way toward the other side. I got about 10 feet from the side of the pool, the side I jumped off of, not the other side. It took me about 5 minutes, but I made it that far. The other students looked like torpedoes to me in the waters. They passed me on their way back, and that's when I decided that something was terribly wrong. So I kind of turned around, and I floundered back to the edge of the pool. I pulled myself up over the edge and looked at my teacher. And in front of all these other kids, I said, "I think I'm in the wrong class." And my teacher agreed. And so he walked with me in front of all these students, different classes, to the shallow end of the pool, to the class that I should have been placed in. And I was emotionally scarred for life. Man, I was afraid, I was ashamed, and when my mom wanted to take me back there for swim lessons the next week, I threw a fit, and I gave it all I had. Tears, rage, sadness, lots of drama. And my mom, bless her heart, she finally gave in, and I did not go back. You see, I didn't persevere through that trial. I quit. And to this day, I can't swim. And I'm a bit afraid of the water. And I'm embarrassed by both of those facts. My kids will tell you that. My kids who can swim, by the way. So I did not persevere. I fainted. And, you know, just as Dick was talking about, there's six of us and God used 12 to change the world. The first thought when he said that was, yeah, and the last act of the leader of that 12 before Jesus died and rose from the dead was he fainted hard and fast, didn't he? When he denied Christ and ran and hid while Jesus was sacrificing his life for the sins of the world. Peter was hiding. The next time you see Peter, he's preaching and thousands are coming to Christ, and he's saying, "This Jesus whom you crucified." So, wow. God uses fainting people, doesn't he? It's not the end. That was last week, around fainting. But let me tell you, before we get into that, a different story. It's about my youngest daughter, Alyssa. Most of you know she loves to play the piano. But it wasn't always like that. When Lissy was first starting out, her first teacher, great person, but she didn't really click with the method that he was using. And anyway, she, you know, after a few years of that, she came home and begged Bonnie with many tears not to send her back. She wanted to quit. But Bonnie did not give in, and she forced Alyssa to persevere. A year or so later, Lissy got a different teacher, and for whatever reason, she clicked with her new teacher, and she began to click with the music as well. Her new teacher's name was Carol Kresge. Maybe you know her. Her progress and her feel for the soul of the music began to flourish. And her passion and skill grew, and it grew some more through yet a third teacher. And now she even teaches piano lessons and continues in her passion and love for music to this day. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Because she did not faint. She persevered, didn't she? Now, those examples, both of me not persevering and Lissy persevering, illustrate for us some deeper eternal truths about faith. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul writes to the church at Galatia, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Folks, this world, your flesh, and the enemy want you to give up, to throw in the towel on Jesus, on your marriage, on the church, to give up on the gospel. And so what we need to do when we do feel faint, and everybody does at some point, I believe, is to get back up instead of to give up. And then we need to persevere to the end. Last week we were in Psalm 142 and verse 3, where a frantic and fainting David began to have his faith renewed. With his face to the ground in prayer, he cried out, and I love this, was a title to the message last week, "When my spirit grows faint within me." And he finished that phrase this way, "It is you who know my way." And I asked you last week here at the beginning of 2018 if your faith in Christ is as vibrant, is as real as it used to be. And if not, then how do we look to God for renewal and restoration? And we ended last week with seven, hopefully dynamic principles to kind of get spiritual oxygen to your spiritual brains when we are faint. And without elaborating on them, I'm going to list them here just for the purpose of review. If you want to hear that message, and I would encourage you to if you haven't, it is online at soulcoffee.podbean.com. You can get that, access that through our website, or you can go directly there. But those seven principles were these. Number one, make it small. Look for just one person to influence, encourage, and disciple. Number two, prune the suckers. We each get a lot of suckers that distract us in life, those multitude of things in life. They're good things, but they're not kingdom things that suck the life out of our fruit bearing. Number three, cherish the story of how God takes fainting and turns it into greater faith, like he did for even Peter, as we mentioned here today. Number four, know the purpose of life. That's a big one, which is to relate with God through anything and everything. That's my prayer for Lucas and Jess, that whatever happens with Felix Curtis, that they would relate with God in that. And if they do, they have accomplished their purpose for being here on this earth. Number five, be creative in ministering to the people around you, family, co-workers, etc. Number six, oxygenate the brain in prayer and in the word. And number seven, I mean your spiritual brain there. Number seven, work together in taking steps of faith. Don't go stuff alone. So there's a few things there. But this week here at the beginning still of 2018, and by the way, next week we're going to get back into the book with Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, so that's next week. We're back to the series on the book. But this week, I'm hoping and inviting the Spirit of God to renew, restore, and reinvigorate even more today. We're going to look at perseverance. Perseverance. Now, the word for perseverance most often used in the original Greek language of the Bible is the word hupomeno. Hupomeno. You want to say that with me? It's kind of fun to say. Emphasis on the third syllable. Hupomeno. Hupomeno. Oh, come on, say it with me, Preston. Here we go. Hupomeno. Oh, there you go. I see that. And it means, it's a cool word because it means to stay under. To stay under. Now, if you look it up in Strong's, it gives these extra details, but literally it means to stay under, to remain, to go, to undergo, to bear trials, to have fortitude, persevere, abide, endure, to take something patiently, to suffer, to tarry behind. It's a cool word because whenever I see that Greek word, Greek prefix, hupo, I've been studying long enough that boom, that jumps off the page, and I know that means under every time. The other part of that word meno is a word that you're very familiar with, even if you don't know it. It's from John 15, when Jesus said, abide in me, you know, without me you can do nothing. Abide, that's the word abide, meno. So hupomeno means to stay, to abide under that pressure, under that trial. So, for example, and I just thought of this. This would be an example of not persevering. And it happens in our culture all the time. A baby has some problems, like little Felix Curtis. Well, let's get rid of it then. That would be an example of, I don't like this trial. I don't like this pressure. So I'm going to ease my discomfort. Happens all the time. So we have situations, when you look in the scripture, situations in the Bible where early Christians are being persecuted and they are encouraged to persevere, to stay under that pressure and not react to suffering in ways that will compromise Christ just to bring temporary earthly comfort or ease or to fit in, you know, kind of thing. So stay under. And at this point, I want to read to you a portion of the entry in Holman's Bible Dictionary of their article on perseverance, because I found it very helpful. Here goes, perseverance. First, they define it this way. Perseverance is maintaining Christian faith through the trying times of life. I think that's a simple, straightforward definition. They go on to say the idea is inherent, that's inherent, not inerrant, okay, don't get those two confused. Inherent means it's in there all over the place. The idea is inherent throughout the New Testament in the great interplay of the themes of what and what? You tell me. Assurance and warning, okay? Perseverance is huge in Scripture for your assurance. Assurance meaning I know that I am a born-again believer. I know that. How do you know? How do you know? I asked a question years ago. Do you really believe that what you say you believe is really real? Perseverance plays a big role in you answering that question. Yes, I do know that. So this is a huge topic here. Holman's goes on to say the background setting for the idea of perseverance blossomed out of the context of persecution and temptation. The believer was expected faithfully to endure and to remain steadfast in the face of opposition, attack, and discouragement. Israel's failure, Old Testament, Israel's failure of faithfulness in the Exodus was a haunting picture for Christians, and the inspired New Testament writers found it to be an important basis for warning. They're saying, look back at Israel. Don't be like that. That was unbelief. That was a lack of perseverance. They always wanted to go back to Egypt. So that's what they're saying here. The New Testament referred to their experience. But listen to this part. They, meaning the New Testament writers, were committed to making absolutely clear, listen to this now, drink this in. You got to understand this statement, that the requirements of Christian living were recognized as an essential element of Christian believing. Let me unpack that for you. That means if you believe, if you truly believe, it's going to change the way you live. That's what that's saying. If you truly believe, if you really believe about Christ, then you will persevere no matter what's going on around you. You will follow hard after Christ. And then they finish with this sentence, authentic life, authentic, that means real, and true belief are both necessary parts of being a Christian. Ooh. So, don't tell me that you're a Christian because you prayed to receive Jesus when you were three. The Bible doesn't. I don't recognize that as assurance in the Scriptures. It's not there. Your belief, your faith in Christ should show in your life, and it should tell out your mouth. When I was little, we used to have show and tell at school, you know. You'd bring something cool from the home, something you got for Christmas or something. Show and tell. You bring it in, show it to your class, and tell them about it. That's the idea here. It's a show and tell thing. Now, my son Justin, he absolutely loves Michigan State. He absolutely is enamored with Michigan State. And I know this is true. I'm telling you that, but I know it's true because it comes out in his life all the time. It's so annoying. Not really. Let me tell you how I know. Every birthday, every Christmas, his desire for Michigan State is shown in that he requests Michigan State gifts. The kid's got Michigan State sweatshirts, Michigan State hats, Michigan State socks, Michigan State blanket. His room is decorated Michigan State, all at his request. And Bonnie lets him get away with that. It's terrible. But my point is, it's his desire, and you can see it. You can tell it. But then, more beyond that, also his actions. Because he is constantly looking online to see if Michigan State's playing, whether it's football, basketball, whatever it is. He's always on there. He follows the games. He gets really upset when they lose to Ohio State, which means he's been upset a lot lately. It's just, sorry, I shouldn't have wrote that in there. I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry, Glenn. I apologize. I gave in to temptation. No, seriously. Get back here, Cole. He's going to get his hair cut, probably. Didn't need a haircut before he left. Anyway, if you're at the annual meeting, you know what I'm talking about. But his desire, you can see it in his actions. They line up with what Justin says, that he is an MSU fan. So that's what I'm talking about. If you're a Christian, your desire should show in that way, and it should show in your actions and in your perseverant actions. And that is what the New Testament teaches. And the badge, according to Jesus, the badge that you will wear that says clearly, Christian, follower of Jesus, that badge is love and obedience in the face of opposition. So perseverance, what in the world is it? It's when my desire for Jesus and my loving actions that are like Jesus, when they bring pain and persecution to my life, and they will, I stay under that. I continue in my desire and in my actions of love, even when I'm hated in return. That's perseverance. Let me just finish with this sentence from Holman, because I believe, and I've said it from the pulpit here many times, this is an important doctrine of the Christian faith. It's called the perseverance of the saints. And that's what Holman agrees with me here. It says, the perseverance of the saints is one of the great theological ideas that, read it with me, last few words, you ready? That needs to be reaffirmed in this era, meaning this time right here. I agree with that very much. So what I guess at this point, what I'm telling you is this, because we all go through times, man, am I really serious about this, my faith in Christ? When you get that, I understand and know that day when you first believed is, I mean, it's seared into my mind. I can tell you about it. And many of you, that's the same thing. But the Bible doesn't necessarily look back to that point of first faith. It says, look at your life right now. Is your desire and your actions, can you tell? And when you're persecuted or when you're pressured, how do you respond to that? Do you persevere? Do you stay under that? Or do you wiggle out from under that over to a more comfortable place? Let's go to God's Word and just look at some things. Now, this is not comprehensive. It's just a few things from Scripture about perseverance. First of all, perseverance in bearing fruit. Luke 8, Jesus said, the seed, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, they hear it, they retain it, and by what? Persevering, produce a crop. That's the word, hupomeno. Hupomeno, staying under. You see, a willy-nilly Christian life is not going to bear fruit, is it? It takes perseverance. Because neither the fruit of the Spirit nor the fruit of souls comes to flourish in one who is more enamored with comfort and fitting in than with declaring the praises of who Jesus Christ really and truly is. It takes perseverance to bear fruit. A second one, perseverance is from God. Romans 15, Paul says to the church at Rome, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through what? That's the word, hupomeno. Endurance, staying under, and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then he says this, may the God who gives hupomeno, endurance and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ. So if perseverance is a gift from God, then if I have God, if Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit indwells me, then I will, listen to my words here, I will grow in perseverance. And then there's perseverance in our testimony. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, the troubled church, his second letter to them, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Say stumbling block. Say it with me. Say discredited. Discredited. Rather than that, Paul says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great hupomeno, endurance, in troubles, hardships, distresses. Listen, if we cave every time we're pressured, then we risk being stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks in people's path to know and see and come to know Christ. And Christ and our ministry are discredited by my craving for comfort. Christians grow to not crave comfort and ease, but to crave Christ and His glory instead. The next one, perseverance in a worthy life. Paul to the church at Colossae, he says to them, we pray this. This is, he has just prayed for them, has communicated a prayer. And he says, we pray this in order that you may live a what? A life worthy of the Lord. I spoke at the annual meeting briefly about what is a worthy life. A life worthy of the Lord may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that, why do we need all that? So that you may have great hupomeno, staying under power and patience, and that you might joyfully give thanks to the Father. See, a true Christian experiences discomfort. I mean, Jesus said you're going to have trials. We experience discomfort because of our faith, but we stay under it. We give thanks in the midst of it. And all the while, we're thinking, you know what? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. This is just practice down here. This ain't the real game. I'm not pursuing a win in this game because this is just practice. You ever heard of a free agent in football? Look at this picture. Who is that? Nope, not quite. Oh, I thought you'd get this. You call yourself MSU fans. Glenn, you know who that is? That's Le'Veon. There, Bubba's got it. Le'Veon Bell, you betcha. One of the best, man. Now, I'm assuming you're forgiving me for my past statements, right? Because I'm highlighting Le'Veon Bell. Plays for the Steelers, right? One of the best running backs. Love to see this guy run. Go ahead, click that, because there he is. And, of course, there he was. I chose that photo intentionally. blown past the Michigan guy. Glenn likes that. See, I knew you'd forgive me, Glenn. Yeah, well, that's Le'Veon. And I've heard, the reason I chose him, I think he's a free agent this year. Is that right? I heard rumor that he might even end up in Detroit, that Detroit's looking at him. Wouldn't that be fun? So anyway, what's a free agent? It's a guy who has played out his contract on one team, and he is free then to negotiate to go to another team. And if he signs a contract with a new team, guess what? He is no longer free, and he does not try then to play for both teams. Right? He's done with his old team, and now all his time and attention and effort goes to his new team. So you see, if you're a professing Christian, you're one who signed on with the gospel of Jesus, and yet you're trying to play for your old team, it doesn't make sense to fit in there. See, that's not a Christ follower, because Jesus didn't do that. Christians follow Christ. They love other people, and when the world doesn't like what they're saying or doing, they stay under that persecution without compromise or wavering. No matter what the cost, that's perseverance, and that's what we are called to as evidence and assurance of our faith. Speaking of evidence, that's the next one, perseverance and evidence. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Paul to the church at Thessalonica. He says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about what? Your perseverance and faith. That's hupomeno. In all the persecutions and trials you're enduring, they stayed under them. And he says in verse 5, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you're suffering. See, perseverance is evidence of real saving faith. On the heels of that, be encouraged, church, because perseverance, it just doesn't come like that. It's developed. It's developed. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that when your faith is tested like that, it develops what? Hupomeno, perseverance. And perseverance has got to finish its work. It works on you so that you may be mature and complete. See, you're growing. It's the language of growth, not lacking anything. So we can be growing in our confident perseverance. Perseverance is to be pursued. Not just is it developed, but it's to be pursued by us. 1 Timothy 6, the love of money, Paul says, the root of all kinds of evil. And then he goes on to say, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. They've pierced themselves with many what? Cars, boats, houses, lands, griefs. It's usually where that pursuit ends. But you, man of God, flee that stuff and pursue. Then he gives a whole list of things. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and hupomeno. Endurance and gentleness. We're to pursue perseverance. Go after it, listen, as a part of your own character, who you are from the soul out. I want to be one tough dude like Jesus. I want to persevere. I want that developed in me. I don't want to cave whenever the pressure's on. I don't want to fit in. Do you? Do you want to fit in? I don't. But I my flesh does. My flesh gets uncomfortable. So go after it as a character quality that Jesus had in spades. And that's the last one, perseverance like Jesus, like Hebrews 12. You read Hebrews 11, it gives a list of all these incredible people of faith that trusted in the revelation of God to the extent that they had it then. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses from chapter 11, let's just throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles itself in our hearts and minds, and let's run with, what? You say the word. Hupomeno, perseverance, the race marked out for us. And then he goes on to say, hey, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, like him, like he did. Lots of good things about perseverance in the scriptures, and that is not comprehensive at all. So I'm thinking, maybe you're asking, maybe you're not, but this is a question I had. How does persevering, staying under, relate to fainting? From last week. And I would say to you, here's one way it relates. You know, we all go through times, I think, where we get faint in our faith. I know I have and do. And David did, like we said in Psalm 142. And is fainting a sign of a lack of perseverance? And I don't think it is. I don't think there's shame in fainting. I think fainting can result in a lack of perseverance. It depends on what you do with the faint. I think God uses fainting to build humility into a stronger trust and faith in Him, and therefore, more perseverance. And there's no shame there. So, I mean, the whole point of this series, this mini-series here at the beginning of the year, is because we've been at this a long time. I've been here since 2000. Many of you have been here Sunday after Sunday, year after year, through this. I see a lot of new faces. Praise God for that. But we've been doing this a long time. Maybe you're just sick to death of hearing me every Sunday. I don't know. But let's persevere. Let's, instead of just coming week after week and listening and going home and coming the next week, let's get involved in the growth and ministry of this church and this community. Let's take those steps of faith, whether it be Pioneer Club or small group or just that one-on-one making it small that we talked about last week. Man, let's do something with your faith. So if you're feeling faint in your faith, like we said last week, lay down. Get some oxygen to your brain. Get on your face and cry out like David. Use Psalm 142 as your cry to God, if that's where you're at. Get your face to the ground. That's what David did. And I would say, lay down before you fall down. Because if you keep plugging, keep chugging through life, you're going to fall down. So lay down, have a good talk with the Lord. But what about perseverance? Here's how they relate. Simply this. I think perseverance means every time you feel faint, and that won't just be one time in your life, in your Christian life. Every time you get your face to the ground, you cry out, you get some spiritual blood to your spiritual brain. I'll tell you what, when God restores, renews, re-energizes you by His Spirit, and I think repentance is all a part of that, perseverance is the thing that gets you back up off the ground. So faint away. Just get up when you're done. And you get up every time, and you take the next step. Whatever that is. And you get walking in the Spirit again. And when you do that, you're going to learn so much of Jesus in that. And you're going to look back on that, and you're going to look at your life not right at this point. You're going to say, yep, I know. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Either that day when I breathe my last or that day when Jesus comes to take me home. So keep going. That's how fainting and perseverance is the get back up after the faint. Keep going in your faith, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your discipleship, because the day you quit with Jesus and His church, those are the days that haunt you. You'll be forever haunted by that question. Did I ever have Jesus in the first place? Who are the saints? The saints are those who persevere.